Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, it's a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with what's going on locally and globally. Now, in over 20 years running, this show has been going on here on WBT, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I hope it is a chance for you to pause and realize that God's in control of his world. And though this swirling world has all kinds of things surrounding us, we can trust in the one who created it. My dear friend Ed Billick has his microphone open, as he has over the last months since the coronavirus happened, and we've had to do this show together. But it's been fun, Ed, to be able to do this with you and for us to comment on issues in the culture, things we see going on through the lens of faith and values, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed it as well.
David, good morning to you. You know, and you get my spiritual adrenaline flowing. You know, like in sports, you have an adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking prior to the show. Here come up things we'd like to discuss today, and you got me all fired up. I'm ready to go.
Well, let's get into it, because this has been a very interesting week. And as we move into the show, let me remind us all that the sponsors for this show are Perry's Fine Jewelry and Henderson Properties, and their support allows this show to happen. So many thanks to them. Ed, you know, what a week. I mean, we saw almost like a virtual inauguration in Washington, D.C., with literally tens of thousands of troops all over the streets. Not sure exactly what that was about, except maybe the Democratic Party trying to show a moment of force that they're really in control of Washington, D.C. right now, and they weren't going to allow any kind of protests or any kind of conservative expression of faith in that moment. They wanted to control that narrative very tightly. And, you know, for those of us who remember the inaugurations of years past, and I know you and I are pretty close to the same age, you know, I can go back and remember vividly John F. Kennedy's inauguration. I can remember Nixon's inauguration. I can remember Jimmy Carter's, Ronald Reagan, Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, you know, all of those up until now. But we've never seen one quite like this one. And yes, it's the coronavirus for sure, and we'll talk some more about that today. But I think it was more the Democrats making a statement that we are in control. And I also found it interesting to try to follow Joe Biden's call for all of us to be in unity with one another while he's making this display of absolute power that we're not going to allow any conservative expression thing. 25,000 whatever National Guard and police forces there in control. Ed, it just looks like it was a clear statement of we're in control now.
Well, you know, David, and you know, I know you, your listeners know you, your words match actions, or your actions match your words. So when President Biden says unity, all right, let's see what actions are taking place to unify the country. I mean, 74 million people did not vote for him.
Right. And I don't want to hear what he says, see what he does. And if indeed he's about unity, the very first thing that's going to be on the table is impeachment. I mean, if he moves toward impeachment with the total congressional control that he has right now, all that's going to do is to alienate and further exacerbate people's anger and division in their hearts. They don't feel like the Constitution allows that to happen. He is no longer a sitting president. He is a private citizen. How can he be held accountable for an office he doesn't hold anymore? So if they move down that road, Ed, as you just mentioned, 74, 75 million Americans, if that is the actual count, who voted for him, they still are very loyal to him. If there is an impeachment process, that does not garner unity. That only furthers division and rancor and people's hurt in their hearts, and it will be a difficult problem to overcome.
Yeah, credibility is so important here in this time of our history, and to have a leader say those words sounds great, but the time and the actions will definitely, because once you lose credibility, then you lose everything.
Well, that's exactly right. And what else is he going to say? I mean, the nation is very uncivil right now. There is great division within it. There are people on both sides who think the other side basically has lied. We have a press that leans to the left that does not seem to be a watchdog for the left's power. And when that doesn't happen, what confidence can there be in the people in the land that we're going to keep moving forward? So, Ed, we're in a very interesting time right now, and I think the inauguration showed it. What will the future look like? I don't know. I'm just glad that my faith is in the God of the universe who controls everything and not in government. I think one of the problems we have in America today is everybody looks to government to be the solution to the problem.
And Dave, when we come back, I think you're going to go down the road of the word pardon.
I am, because interestingly, President Trump was allowed to pardon some numbers of people, and he did so, and a couple of them were local. And I want to talk about what they experienced, because I talked to both of them, but also about the power of pardon from a spiritual perspective. It means we're no longer trapped in our past. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My friend Ed Billick, who has his mic open during this program as well, loves that song and introduced it to me some months ago from John Rich, Earth to God. Ed, how'd you find this song?
It was a YouTube video that came across on my kind of spiritual channel, and I listened to his interview and all. You know, maybe we can get him on the show sometime.
That'd be cool. It's just a great song which cries out to God for help during these times of turmoil and need. There's no question that we are in such a time as today, and we are crying out to God. Earth to God, hear our prayers. In your holy name, come meet our needs. We ask that in Jesus' name. Ed, let's talk about this spiritual idea of pardon. It's one of the most powerful words in all of the Bible. This past week, President Trump had the right to pardon some numbers of people before he left office, and every president has that privilege, and every president has taken advantage of it. In fact, it is written into our Constitution purposefully and intentionally. I think our founding fathers realized with their Judeo-Christian framework, the influence of the gospel on their lives, that nobody, if at all possible, should have to be trapped in their past forever. Surely there would be something called a pardon that could be given to people to forgive them and allow them to move forward with their life without their past being their defined person.
You know, when I think of the word pardon, I think of, okay, what you did was not wrong. What you did is okay. I'm going to wipe it from the books. That's not what pardon is.
No, pardon actually is the person who did the offense, owning the offense, saying that, you know, I did wrong, but it's the person with power who has the ability to forgive, to say, even though you did wrong, and we're not saying that you didn't do wrong, we're forgiving you of what you did, and that's no longer being held against you. That's the idea of pardon.
And for us Catholics, that's the sacrament of reconciliation. You ask for pardon for your sins to the Lord. I know all Christians ask for forgiveness and pardon.
Exactly. It is throughout the Holy Scriptures that God is a God filled with mercy and grace. Now, the word mercy means we don't get what we deserve. The word grace means we get what we don't deserve. And the illustration I've used so often here to help people with those two words of mercy and grace. One time, one of my children stood up to me and said, I'm not going to do what you told me to do. And man, I was one ticked off dad because it was so defiant. Well, I told my child to go up into his room and I would deal with him. I walked into his room some minutes later and he was bawling like a baby and just said, Dad, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. And my heart was so moved with compassion for my son who had done something wrong. There was no question about it. He was defiant and disobedient. And so I said, sure, I will give you mercy. That means I didn't give him what he deserved. He deserved punishment, but I gave him mercy. And then I went into the bedroom and I raked a bunch of quarters into my hands. And my wife, who'd overheard the confrontation with me and my son, said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm taking my son out for ice cream. That's grace. he's getting what he didn't deserve. So he got mercy. He received what he didn't deserve, the forgiveness of his acts. But then I gave him grace. I took him out for ice cream. I gave him what he didn't deserve. That's who God is. God is merciful in pardoning us for our sins and then heaps upon us. So the idea of pardon is connected to that idea of mercy. So God is merciful and he forgives us and gives us second chances. The idea of a pardon rooted into our Constitution by our founding fathers was a chance for a president to look at certain people and say, you know what, I'm going to give you a pardon. I'm going to forgive you, and this is not going to exist on your record anymore. Well, two local people whom I personally know this past week, one Pat Swisher, the other Robin Hayes, got the news early in the morning that they had been forgiven. They had been pardoned of previous sins. Now, neither one of them said to me, you know, I didn't deserve getting punished by the government. They both owned up to, you know, what happened, but they both knew that they received undeserved pardon.
Undeserved.
Undeserved pardon from the president. And now what they did is no longer on their record. It's expunged forever. They can never be tried for that crime again. They are literally free to live their lives. They're no longer felons. They can carry guns, for example. They can vote now, for example. They are totally free from their past. And Edwin, I was talking to both of them, and both of them were so giddy and happy. Both of them just weeping some tears of thanksgiving for the president's—
Like your son did.
Exactly, receiving mercy. You know, because that's what they did. They received what they didn't deserve. And now, again, both of them are fully restored citizens. They can never be tried for that crime again. And they are fully pardoned by the power of the presidency. So when I thought about that this week, I thought I have to do a segment on this show today about pardon. Because that's what God has done for us. For those of us who are Christians, what Jesus did was he went to the cross and he took our place. Our punishment was placed upon him, and we didn't have to face God's wrath, his judgment. It was put upon his Son, and the Son then gives us forgiveness by grace through faith. He shows us mercy. He does not give us what we deserve. And now, if we just accept Jesus, and in biblical language, we are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, we are fully pardoned in the sight of God. Ed, I want you and all our listeners just to think about that for a moment. It's life transforming. It's changeable like nothing else. In the eyes of God now, if you have accepted his pardon through Jesus, you are fully forgiven. You can never be tried for that crime again. You have your past in your past. God is an eternal amnesiac. If you came to God and asked him about that horrible sin you committed in your past, God would say to you, "I especially remember forgetting that sin." In biblical language, he casts our sins into the heart of the sea. They are not only never to be remembered by him ever again, but they are forever forgotten. They are forever taken away from any view that he has toward you. Dear friends, you are fully pardoned. And again, that's what my two friends expressed. And they were so giddy because they knew they truly had been forgiven by the mercy of the present. So have we been forgiven by the God.
But that doesn't come automatically because we're human. We're all going to sin.
Absolutely.
We ask a pardon.
Right. And that may be a part of what is a core as well, because they had to ask for that pardon as well. And interestingly, as I understand it, the president receives around 25,000 pardon requests. And one of my friends who got the pardon said, you know, it's really like winning the lottery if you get chosen to be pardoned, because it's such a small sample size that is actually chosen. But you do have to, first of all, ask for it. You have to send in an application, and then you don't know if it's going to get to the president's desk or not. Interestingly for us with God, we have to ask for it, but it isn't a lottery. It's for everybody, and anybody who asks for it will be fully pardoned by the God of this universe. That's the difference between the presidential pardon and our pardons from God, and that's because His mercy is for all, and anyone who wants to come to Him and ask for that forgiveness will
receive
it.
But you
got
to go to the Lord and ask for that forgiveness. You got to be sorrowful for what you did and then want to move on and promise not to sin again.
Right, and you know, we may still. Because the truth is, we're not perfect now. We still live in these broken human bodies in a broken human world with other broken people surrounding us. So, you know, Ed, even though I'm forgiven, you're forgiven, we both profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we still mess up. I still have days that I get irritable with my wife or say something I shouldn't say and do something I shouldn't do. But that's the whole point of God's grace and mercy are rich. It's like a flowing river. We can jump back in anytime we need to. Now, here's the key. You don't use that grace and mercy to continue to sin. But you do know that if you should sin, you can go back there and drink from that fountain that's rich in the love of God, and He'll continue to restore you and give you His pardon, because it's just such an extraordinary, amazing gift that God has given us today and forever. And I just hope everybody who's listening right now will have that pardon, because what it does is it frees you from your guilt. It frees you from all of that burden of wrongdoing that we carry around so much. We look back at our life and say, oh, I wish I had done differently. And God just says, I know that. I know you regret that, but it's been forgiven. It's been forgotten in my sight. You are fully pardoned. It isn't that good news.
Oh, it clears your mind. Yeah. It clears your mind. It allows you to go forth.
Well, that's another idea in the Bible, that pardon idea gives you a clean conscience. That's actually what the Bible says. You have a clean conscience because of the pardon of God, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to have your conscience burdened with guilt and shame by what you did. All of that was absorbed on the cross. All of that was fully paid. And I love the idea, Ed, that when a debt has been paid, what's stamped on the piece of paper is paid in full. I love that, paid in full. That's what a pardon is. Everything that you did wrong has been paid in full by the power of the president.
You pay off a credit card, and you pay it off, and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Ever
and
again.
And that gives you money to do something else with, means it gives you time and some of your skills to do something else with in the eyes of God. I'm trying to marry those two together.
That's the grace idea. The mercy idea is paid in full. Now you can live life to the full, receiving all the grace gifts that God wants to give you. So, my thanksgiving to Pat and Robin for allowing me to talk with them this past week and hear their voice lilting with joy because they had received a presidential pardon. All of you out there, may we sing for joy because we have all received a beautiful, godly Father pardon from heaven on high. I'm David Chadwick, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 11 and 1099.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, and you can hear the David Chadwick Show from beginning to end. It's my pleasure to do this program on a weekly basis. Thank you, listeners, for joining me as well. Ed Billick, my friend and producer, has his open mic. We're just talking about different things that have gone on this past week. We've covered the inauguration. We've covered a couple of local people who got pardons from the president and the beauty of that spiritually in our lives from God giving us a pardon for our sins through Jesus. What a great, wonderful gift that is. And Ed, let's talk during this segment about this lingering problem that persists around us called the coronavirus. I can remember last March when this thing really hit and you and I had to try to figure out the program because we couldn't get guests in studio anymore. And we just decided to allow this show to be a weekly commentary on what's going on. So we're looking at the world through the lenses of faith and values, but we're just making some comments from a biblical perspective on what is going on. And here we have this idea of the coronavirus just persisting. A spike has occurred over January, and I know know in my church, what I'm experiencing now is before I heard about people who had the coronavirus, now I actually know people who have it. I got a text just the other night from a dear friend and said, it swept through my whole family. Everybody's got it, and we've got to quarantine for 2 weeks. So again, there's the difference. It's moved from I know about people, now I know people, and this spike just seems to keep going on and on.
It makes made it real for me and people I've known, and it also just reinforces you got to wear the mask, you got to wash your hands, you got to stay apart from people as much as we don't like to, but it's just as important. It's more, almost more important now because of the spread of it.
Yeah, and I know that the church I pastor, Moments of Hope Church, and by the way, if anybody would like to hang on at 9 o'clock, go to momentsofhopechurch.org and you can see our live service, and I'll be preaching a message of hope to all of you. Would love to have you come join us as well. But I know we still have this issue of not being able to come together because, A, we don't have a building, but B, even if we did, we'd be limited, I think, in how often we could come together and how many people could gather because of the coronavirus. And people are just getting tired. I can tell that that's going on. And I think that's part of the anger that we've experienced politically as people have been enclosed for so long that when they finally did get outside, all of that erupted in anger and frustration with government policies that are inconsistent, etc. So I'm not sure where we go from here except to remind people again and again and again of two things. First of all, God is your sufficiency. He'll meet your every need. He promised to do so. That's something you can claim. Don't give up on that promise. And secondly, get the death issue settled. I mean, Jesus came to this earth to settle the death problem. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though they live, will never die. I just think that's a wonderful verse, John 11:25, that we are given the promise by believing in Jesus that we're going to live forever. And really what happens at death for those who believe, you just close your eyes, you go to sleep, and you wake up in the presence of Jesus and all of your loved ones in a splendorous place called heaven. You don't ever really die. You get the death issue settled, and now you can enjoy this side of eternity.
Share a little conversation with everyone that you and I had like a week ago, I think, and we were talking about the show, and I was telling you my sister, who's a nurse in Pennsylvania, got the second vaccine, and she had a horrible 24 hours of reaction to it. And my brother said, well, that's better than death. And then you said,
I said, are you sure? Because really, if you believe that death is just the entry into eternal life, why fear death? And that's why you see Paul, for example, in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and a sound mind. When you have a sound mind, you know your destination is eternity. You believe that death is merely going to sleep and waking up in the presence of Jesus. What's there to be afraid of? So that, again, is why I say on a regular basis, get the death issue settled. Go ahead and go to the Father and say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I now have my sins pardoned forever and ever. And God then gives you his very presence inside your heart and the absolute promise that you're going to go to heaven and you don't need to worry about anything. So that's what I would tell everyone out there. Live every day to the full. Don't let fear consume your life. The coronavirus is not the final word. Make sure you've got the death issue settled, and now you can enjoy the rest of your life. You can have all of the experiences of joy with your loved ones and everything else you want to do without having to worry about the problem of death.
Many people the age of 65 and older are signing up for the vaccine now. I got an email from Atrium Health. Mine won't be till the middle of April. So I think we'll know a lot more in 2 to 3 months about the vaccine. Your thoughts on the vaccine, because that, to create herd immunity, as they say, will get us beyond this, hopefully.
Well, I think I have one concern, a major concern, and that is the continued mutation of the virus itself. We've seen in a couple of places throughout the world and now even in America that the vaccine can prevent this particular strain, but when the virus mutates, that causes yet another problem and a need for another vaccine. So I continue to pray that we'll have wisdom to know how to deal with that particular issue. There are people out there, Ed, though, who have severe allergies, and they are concerned about the vaccine. And all I can say there is you need to consult with your physician and make the wisest decision for you. There have been 55 deaths, as I understand it, because of the vaccine. So there are some repercussions, and we can't make a blanket decision for everybody. And I know there are some people out there that just don't want to get the vaccine. They're saying, you know, in 8 months, we roll this thing out, and it usually takes years to come up with a vaccine. You know, level to trust the physicians who oversee us and who have spent their life trying to study this. But also, again, you've got to know your own body. And if you have severe allergies and those kind of reactions to the vaccine, you need to talk with your physician to make sure that's the case. But we do pray that the vaccine will allow there to be a herd immunity where there is a certain number out there that have now the prevention of the disease, and therefore the disease does not have the power that it presently has over us.
You know, one thing I want to delve into, and I think it's worth mentioning, is the precious state of our health and the precious state of life. Recently here at WBT, just last week, we lost Sharon Sanders, who is head of Kids First. I've known her for 13 years. A wonderful lady, a giving lady, unconditional love for others. Spoke with her early December. My wife and I wished her a Merry Christmas over the phone. That was the last time I spoke with her. Mm. And some people keep their health to themselves and their situation themselves. But I guess the message is when you're interacting with folks, you never know. That may be the last time you interact with them.
Ed, you are saying something that is so true. And life is fragile. I mean, it's such a fragile commodity that we have. And we need to value it and take advantage of every single moment we have with our loved ones. I know this past week, my daughter turned 35 years old.
Congratulations.
It's just hard to believe that it was 35 years ago that God gave Marilyn and me that beautiful gift of life after, you know, 8 years of infertility and wondering if we would ever have a child. God gave us that beautiful little girl. And Marilyn and I wanted to make sure that we told her often on that day how much we love her and how much we care for her. But then it hit me that not only should we do that on birthdays, we should do that every day, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And with people especially that we love dearly, we should make sure we say to them, hey, I love you. Thank God for you. I'm so appreciative of you. And don't let those angry moments last long, because wouldn't it be awful, Ed, to have an angry moment with somebody and then that person passes away and you think your last thought with them was a negative one? Don't let that happen, folks. Live in the moment. Live positively. Live with hope. Encourage one another and make sure you have no regrets as you interact with one another. Ed, thank you for bringing that to my attention. It's a great statement we need to regularly say to people, especially amidst this pandemic when we just don't know. We don't know when we might be saying goodbye to somebody in a very near way. So thank you for that. And everyone, would you please make sure that you guard yourself against isolation sickness? It is something that can be very real. As you're so concerned about not catching the coronavirus, you can isolate yourself. And the truth is, binge drinking has gone through the roof since coronavirus happened. We have had depression go through the roof. Suicides have been more in every possible way. So please make sure you're guarding your mental health. If there's something going on within you that makes you totally depressed and isolated, please make sure you call a mental health hotline, call a friend, call a counselor. Even if it's over the phone, make sure you talk with people, because God did not intend us to live this life alone. We were created to be in community with one another. And when we live in community, we have hope with one another, because we can encourage one another, love one another, care for one another. Please make sure during these very difficult times that there isn't some kind of isolation sickness that might take part in your life, and you guard yourself against that in every possible way. Well, we've got one more segment coming up, and what I'd like to do is review what we've talked about thus far and give you moments of hope as well, and then have a prayer time at the end as we continue to move forward amidst all that is surrounding us. It may seem chaotic to you folks. It's not chaotic to God. He is in control. He sits on his throne. He reigns every day. Therefore, we can trust him and have hope. I'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Well, what a week. It's been a very interesting week with the inauguration and other things going on all around us. And as we sit today looking at our future as a nation, I hope all of us will continue to be people filled with hope, because as long as God is on his throne, we should be people of great hope. And let's all continue to remember that our major responsibility as citizens of this nation is that we are to pray for those in authority over us. We are to pray for our president. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 makes that very clear, that we are to pray for those in authority over us. And remember that when Paul wrote that, Nero was the emperor. He was a godless reprobate. He persecuted Christians. He was not beloved at all. Yet Paul still said to pray for those who are in authority over us, and that included Nero, dear friends. That includes President Joe Biden as well. And I would encourage all of you to pray for him by name and to pray for our Vice President, Kamala Harris. And all of us should pray for our senators and House of Representative people. We should pray for our state officials and our local officials. That should be a regular part of our lives. So please remember to do that. And also, if you want to make this world a better place in which to live, go be salt and light in the world. Now, what's interesting about salt and light is salt, when placed in the food, suddenly becomes invisible. And when you are influencing this world, a lot of times the world won't really see you doing it, but you are there. You are influencing it for good by your choices, by your serving, by your love. And when you do so, this world becomes a better and stronger place to live. Light overcomes darkness. I remember at our candlelight service at Christmas Eve, we darkened the room. There could not be seen anything until someone lit a candle, then lit somebody else's candle, and lit somebody else's candle until the room was aglow with brightness, because the truth is, darkness is always overcome by the light. So Jesus said, be the salt of the earth. Go make yourself invisible with acts of kindness and love, but also be the light of the world. Shine God's love and light into the darkest places possible. And dear friends, light always overcomes darkness. Light always wins. It's just a great truth of the scripture. Jesus said, be salt and light. He didn't say act like salt and light. He said, just be that. Be the normal follower of God who expresses love, not hate, kindness, not rancor and discord, and is a person who gives hope to this world. Ed, if we do that, the world is a better place in which to live.
Absolutely. You know, today's show, really neat. We started with unity, then you talked pardon, and then we went into, well, the virus and isolation and behavior and treating well and never knowing if that's the last interaction you're going to have with somebody.
So always give people hope and light and encouragement.
Which is the salt and light.
It is, that whole idea. And, you know, really Jesus reduced everything to two phrases, love God and love your neighbor. And, you know, as I've said so often, you do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. Just find somebody to go give a moment of hope to. You know, I do a daily, regular moment of hope on Bo Thompson's show at around 5:35 every morning. Just a minute to give people a moment of hope, to begin their day with hope. And the reason we call it a moment of hope is because from my heart to the listeners, I want to daily give them a moment of hope. Well, the same is true for everyone. Just go into the world and find someone, your family member, your neighbor, your work associate, somebody you're exercising with, whomever, give somebody a moment of hope. And when you do that, you've allowed thousands of points of light to shine brightly, and you've made this world a stronger place. And you don't even have to draw attention to yourself, but you are making the world better by giving people a moment of hope. So that's my hope, what will happen with our listeners today. Ed, it's been great being with you today. Do you have hope for our nation, or are you still feeling a bit concerned about what's going on?
Well, of course, there's always that concern. But, you know, there are two leaders. You give to Caesar what is Caesar. You give to the Lord what is the Lord's. I trust that if we give to God what is God's, everything else will be all right.
Yeah.
And so that's where I come off on all of this, this transition, this change, this virus, this pandemic. It all goes back to giving the Lord what is Lord.
And the world has always been broken. The world has always had its problems. The world has always had its challenges. And we tend to think what we're going through is the worst ever. But the truth is, what we're presently going through politically is not worse than the Civil War time period, for example, when our nation was truly deeply divided, where 600,000 people gave their lives in order for a civil war to be fought, and hopefully to help begin the process of setting people of a darker skin color free from their slavery. That was the design. And we are the only nation in the history of the world that has ever fought a civil war among ourselves for the purpose of freeing slaves. We're the only one that's ever done that. So with all of our warts as a nation, we still have, I think, a conscience within that drives us to do what is right. And I think that's still going on today. I think a lot of people still want to do what's right. They want to live in a good way. They want to be good citizens. And I think as long as that's there, we can have hope for our nation and beyond.
David, since the pandemic, we've taken the last minute, 2 minutes, and a set of prayer. Would you lead us as you always do?
It'd be my pleasure. Well, Heavenly Father, I come to you, and the one I personally know is my Lord and Savior Jesus, who gives me access to you any day, any time, any place. I come into your presence, and I first of all do what I just told everybody to do, and that's I pray for President Joe Biden, for Kamala Harris, the vice president, and for all those who are in authority over us. I pray that they would have supernatural, heavenly wisdom and discernment. I pray they would know what decisions to make and how to make them. I pray that their decisions would bless this nation, bring unity to this nation. I pray that those who feel far from the whole political process now would somehow come back to it and have hope among other people today. I pray that we truly would be a nation under God with liberty and justice for all. I pray there would never be another police shooting. Please, Lord, don't let that happen. I pray, Lord, that people would come together and see goodwill in one another and not hurt and angst toward one another. And I ask, Lord, that you would allow this nation to benefit and be prosperous again. I pray, Lord, the coronavirus would go away. I pray it would be healed, cured, and go away. I pray that people would not experience it anymore whatsoever. And I pray, Father, that we would have a nation that has health and wholeness again physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. I pray for those who make decisions about the stock market, about jobs, and I pray we'd have an influence of jobs in our nation soon. And I pray people who've lost jobs would find work. I pray that those businesses that have had to shut up because of the coronavirus would be reopened soon, and we would have a prosperity and abundance that would happen in our land. Lord, it really doesn't matter who's the president if that's the case, because we want all people to prosper and have life. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer. I pray that we would love you today with all our heart, souls, mind, and might, because you're worthy of that love. But also we would love our neighbors as ourselves. And as we do that, we have a lifetime's worth of work to do. Thank you for the gift of pardon, that our sins are forgiven. Thank you that they're never held against us again, and we can move forward in life like you desire us to do so. Thank you for Ed Billick, my friend. Bless his family.
David Chadwick.
And we all love you, Lord. Watch over us today and forever. I pray this in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.